This is DW News live from Berlin. It's the bloodiest day so far in the recent Myanmar pro-democracy protests. Police opened fire on the protesters with live rounds, killing 18 people, according to the United Nations. We'll catch up with an activist in Mandalay, also on the show. As over 300 Nigerian girls kidnapped from school on Friday remain missing, their parents demand answers as to how their daughters could become the targets of such an attack. I'm Nicole Fröhlich. Welcome to the program. More bloodshed on the streets of Myanmar as security forces use increasingly violent tactics to deter protesters. The UN says at least 18 people were killed and over 30 wounded on Sunday alone. Civilians are demanding the return of their elected leaders and an end to military rule.
Protesters try their best to smother clouds of tear gas, retreating to wash out their eyes. Security forces are becoming more aggressive in their determination to end civilian protests against the military's takeover of their country and the forced removal of elected leaders, even if that means taking lives. Local media are reporting casualties in multiple locations. They shot at us yesterday and the day before. I notice it, but I don't care about it. I already said goodbye to my family before I left home, in case I don't come back. Marches took place throughout the country, the crackdown and the threat of arrest not deterring those on the streets. But the crackdown isn't limited to the demonstrators, the military junta also taking aim at the civil service. They fired Myanmar's ambassador to the United Nations after he pleaded for international support.
We need further strongest possible action from the international community to immediately end the military coup, to stop oppressing the innocent people, to return the state power to the people, and to restore the democracy.
Myanmar has been in a state of unrest since the military seized power and detained elected civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi and members of her government on the 1st of February. Since then, the numbers of Burmese people taking to the streets in protest has been growing by the thousands in locations all over the country. They say they won't back down until their leaders have been safely released and handed back their jobs. The military accuses Suu Kyi of importing illegal walkie-talkies and breaching coronavirus restrictions. A hearing for her case will be conducted on Monday.
To get more information about the situation on the ground, I'm joined now by an activist in Mandalay. Just a heads up to our viewers, we won't disclose his full name to protect his identity. Sam, good to speak to you again. Sunday was reportedly the bloodiest day since the beginning of the crisis in your country. What have you experienced in Mandalay this weekend?
Yes, today is the bloodiest day in, you know, Spring Revolution. So, yeah, we have lost many people. The death toll could be higher than 18 people because I have seen in the social media videos that the military is, you know, destroying the evidence, like dragging the wounded and the dead bodies from the street, and they are covering up the blood, and they are also wiping off the security camera footages. So, yeah, the death toll could be much more higher than 18 people right now.
The police are increasingly getting more and more aggressive in the response to the demonstration. What effect is that having on the civil disobedience movement?
Yes, I think people are, you know, right now feeling all kinds of emotions. So even some of the police officers have now gone into civil disobedience movement. So I think people are getting more angry and more emotional. So this could lead to a widespread 100% civil disobedience movement in the country.
Myanmar's deposed leader Aung San Suu Kyi is due to face a court hearing on Monday on charges brought against her by the military. The protests are, of course, against the coup and the junta, but how central is the battle for Suu Kyi's return to freedom to the pro-democracy movement?
Yes, Aung San Suu Kyi is our, you know, embodiment of democracy, so her release means everything to, you know, everyone. And we're not gonna back down because we have lost so many people today, and if we back down, their life will be in vain.
That was Sam, a pro-democracy activist in Mandalay. Thank you very much for your time, and be safe.
Thank you.
To Hong Kong now, where authorities have charged 47 prominent pro-democracy activists with subversion. It's the single largest enforcement yet of Beijing's highly controversial new national security law. Supporters of the territory's pro-democracy movement have described the charges as a body blow to the cause.
They say they have done nothing wrong. Pro-democracy activists were defiant as they reported to police to face charges of conspiracy to commit subversion under the national security law that Beijing imposed on the territory last summer.
So that no matter how difficult it will be, I want to tell all of the Hong Kong people, no matter where you are, to keep faithful and to be hopeful and to continue our struggle.
Their alleged crime was organizing an informal primary election last year to select pro-democracy candidates to run for legislative council elections, a routine matter in much of the world. But it took place shortly after the national security law took effect. And for China's communist rulers, it was a threat, one manipulated from abroad. A small number of countries are vilifying China by spreading lies about territories, including Hong Kong. They're up to their usual tricks of politicizing and weaponizing human rights issues to interfere in other countries' internal affairs. And we will resist this. The activists say Hong Kong's last freedoms are at stake. The government can take away all our rights, but the eyes of the people all over the world are sharp. Everyone will know that we Hong Kong people are still strong in these difficult days. The group hopes the world will be watching on Monday, when they are due in court.
Here's some other headlines we're following for you. Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny has arrived at a penal colony in the town of Pokrov, some 100 kilometers east of Moscow. He's serving a 2.5-year term. He was convicted of violating parole while in Germany recovering from a poisoning attack. The EU has since imposed sanctions on senior Russian officials over the Kremlin's crackdown on Navalny and his supporters. And unidentified gunmen have killed at least 11 people, including a minor, in the Mexican state of Jalisco. Two others were wounded. The state prosecutor's office said the attackers fired from two pickup trucks in the town of Tonalá. Jalisco is one of the epicenters of the country's drug warfare. Hundreds of girls from the Nigerian town of Jangabe are still missing after gunmen attacked a school and took 317 hostages on Friday. Parents are anxiously awaiting the return of their daughters. Since the abduction, they've been coming to the school to ask for news and demand answers as to how the kidnapping was allowed to happen. DW's Fred Muvunyi reports from Zamfara State.
This man has come to the school to find answers. His daughter is one of the hundreds of girls who were kidnapped on Friday. Sanusi Gado hasn't been able to sleep since the news reached his family.
It's a horrible and traumatized situation we are in because of we can't sleep. We are always thinking about her.
Gado's daughter, Hafsat, is only 12 years old. She had just started the second semester at Jangabe Secondary School. Police and the school authorities say they were caught off guard. The girls were sleeping here when the gunmen attacked what used to be called the most secure government school in Zamfara State. This secondary school used to host more than 550 schoolgirls. More than 300 of them are now in captivity. The state has decided to shut down all schools in Zamfara State because they cannot guarantee the safety of students. Without education, the future of young generation in northern Nigeria is now at stake. The vice principal is worried that parents will stop sending their children to school.
It affects the education negatively because they are girls and they are carrying out the bush. So the student will not feel happy and they will not feel comfortable to study hard.
State officials say they have beefed up security in Zamfara State. Negotiations to get the girls released are reported to be underway.
If they are located, I want to assure you that the Zamfara State government has the capacity to rescue them without firing shots.
Back to Jangebe Secondary School, Gado has one wish.
What we like is to bring our children back safely and healthy. That is our prayer.
The big question is why these girls have been kidnapped, but as yet, no answers are forthcoming.
For over seven decades, the Berlinale Film Festival saw scores of movie stars and their fans descend on the German capital to celebrate the cinematic achievements of the year. But the pandemic means that for the first time ever, the red carpet will remain rolled up and fans will be missing out. In this edition, the audience will be reduced to a select group of critics and industry professionals who will watch the contenders for the Golden Bear via live stream.
It's a first in the history of the Berlinale. Festival directors Carlo Chatrian and Mariette Rissenbeek alone in the cinema. For now, only buyers, distributors and press can see their film selection for this year.
Welcome.
From Iran comes the directorial debut of Mariam Mohaddam. She also acts in the film, playing a woman whose husband is executed after a miscarriage of justice.
البته که هیچ چیز جای همسر و برادر شما رو پر نمی‌کنه ولی حتما خواست خدا بوده.
اون بیچاره که دیگه رفت. خدا قوی باش. مگه این بچه جز تو کیو داره؟
It's an indictment of a merciless system.
بابک خدا بیامرز. من خدمت رسیدم بگم یه بدهی به بابک داشتم.
But also a chamber piece dealing with timeless questions of guilt and justice. There's also some strong political cinema from Belarus. Director Alexei Polyan followed the protests that erupted after the presidential election. Courage is his first full-length documentary film. It shows the bravery of protesters using very limited means to fight for change in Belarus. German cinema is in the competition with no fewer than four films, including the adaptation of Erich Kästner's novel, Fabian. The movie is set in tumultuous Berlin in 1931. A crazy and melancholic time trip takes us to the Weimar Republic. We encounter a ménage à trois and dissect a society in decay. The festival organizers hope that in June they'll be able to roll out the red carpet and welcome fans and stars once again, just like last year and all the years before.
And a quick Bundesliga update before we go. Here are all the results from match day 23. Bayern beat Cologne, Dortmund brushed past Bielefeld, Wolfsburg won against Hertha, Stuttgart put five past Schalke, Leipzig beat Gladbach, and on Friday, Bremen got an underdog win over Frankfurt. On Sunday, Union drew with Hoffenheim, Mainz lost to Augsburg, and Leverkusen were beaten by Freiburg. More football coming up. Stay tuned for Sports Live with Hertha Berlin player Mateusz Kunja with a look at his journey from the futsal courts to the Seleção. I'll be back at the top of the hour. Hope to see you then.